Welcome to the Volley Pod, where we're all about coaching kids volleyball. With drills, skills, and scenarios, we keep things fast, fun, and effective. Presented by the Art of Coaching Volleyball, the Volley Pod is your new source for coaching information. Good morning and welcome to the Volley Pod. How are you today, Todd?
Davis, it's all good here. How about you? How's the family? What's going on? What's the latest with Charlie?
She's doing wonderful. She's healthy. She's getting taller, stretching out, making some eye contact, yelling, all sorts of stuff.
Opposite middle blocker? Where are we going?
I'm thinking libero. But I don't know. But she's been coming to watch some volleyball, though.
And, okay, so you got her out there. She's into it.
She's soaking it up, and all right. You know, she's not bawling as she watches it. So,
okay,
you know, all so right. It's good. So yeah, what about you? How's the season going?
Season's going well. It's coming down to the getting ready for playoffs. So we're trying to, you know, one of the things we try to do at the end of the season is, can we get better at the end of the season when a lot of teams kind of take the foot kind of off the accelerator and go, oh, we've been doing this a long time. We need to relax. We're going, no, hey, this is the time when we can get better. And when the season ends, JV, Frostoff, get out of the gym. We get all three courts. It's, you know, I love the beginning of the season when we have three courts, and I love the end of the season when we have three courts. It's best teaching time.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what's been really cool? If people have listened to the pod, over the course of the podcasts we've done, we've heard all about your season and the progression, and it's been really cool to hear, I think. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes in playoffs, for sure.
Well, hopefully it'll keep going.
Yes. Hopefully it'll continue for a long, long time. Absolutely. Well, we got some news. So let's start off with this. So the first thing I wanted to let everyone know about is you can always start with a free trial on the Art of Coaching Volleyball website. All you got to do is provide your email, sign up basically, and you can get a free trial and check it out. It is well worth checking it out. And from there, if you want to continue, you know, it's highly recommended by us, but I think just checking it out, I think people will be hooked and see how rich the content is.
Yeah. Hey, there's so much there. And hey, if you're a club coach getting ready for your season, nice time to get a free trial, go, you know, jumping around there, give you some ideas kind of, cause you're in that mode right now where you're getting fired up for your club season.
Absolutely. And I'm in the learning mode. And so I'm just trying to, you know, pack as much into my mind as I can before we get going, you know, so. And then you're going to be doing this JVA virtual clinic, which we've been pumping up for the last couple episodes. And this is going to be super cool.
So, yep. So December 3rd, let me talk about another coach. Megan Keck is another club coach, successful club coach.
And she's going to be there.
Yeah. Okay. So she's, let me give you her two sessions are pretty cool. The first is thinking outside the box when planning practice.
I love that.
And I just think practice planning there's an art and a science to it. And I'm learning more. I've been doing this a long time, but it's still so important. And I love to hear about that. And then her second one is setter training. I know you love that. Reps that transition to gameplay.
Yay.
So those two things are going to be topics for Megan. And I get to moderate it. So I get to field questions and have my own questions at the end. So I'm excited for it. December 3rd, check it out at the AOC website.
So cool. And on another note, we just got picked up for the AVCA convention, coaches convention in Omaha, to where we're going to be doing a podcast out there, a live podcast.
We're taking the Volley Pod on the road, Davis.
I don't know how that's going to work.
Road Warriors.
Yeah, we're gonna be on the road of it. I'm super stoked about that. But more details about that to come. But we got a great episode in store for everyone today. So, Todd, you're starting with the skill today. What do we have?
Tooling the block.
Oh, yes. One of my favorites.
Tooling the block. Okay. We got a tooling the block. And how important is that? And
I love
think
it.
That for me now, it's become every year it's more and more important. I think a couple of things. I have a baker's dozen today.
Okay.
You know what a baker's dozen is? Is that
I
before
do.
My time?
I know what
is that before
is,
your time? Or
I don't know. Yeah.
How many is a baker's dozen?
I know it's 13.
13. Okay. So I didn't know if that was an old school thing that a young guy like you wouldn't know.
I'm
but
old
you
school.
know a baker's dozen. That's cool.
Do.
So we have 13 tips. First one, begin with day one philosophy, and you're going to be fighting players on this because everybody likes to see balls bouncing straight down.
Yes.
And so you have to fight against that and say, hey, we know the higher the level, the more kills are touching the block. So if we want to be high level volleyball players, we have to get good at hitting balls off the block. Mm-hmm. So it's, and a great way, I think, to even the playing field. I mean, I have a team right now, you know, my two tallest kids are 5'10". Right. We have to tool the block. We're not going to be hitting over blocks. So that's number one, begin with the philosophy. Number two, reinforce that with celebrating the tools.
I love that.
Can we make that? Can I be more excited with a tool than a straight down kill?
Yes.
And
yes.
Can the team feed off that? Like, oh yeah, we have a right. tool. That's awesome. So celebrate. Number three, this is the one you're going to hear in our practice all the time, is Davis, did you hit that as hard as you could? You hit the ball as hard as you can? And if not, why not? Right. Hit the ball hard. If you're tooling the block, I think for the great majority, I mean, I think there are times when you can do some off-speed stuff, but for 95%+, hit the ball hard.
Yeah.
So
challenge them, make them have to be so firm that if they're not, they're,
you know. Yep. And hey, high school blocks are shaky to begin with. And so if you hit it hard, good things are going to happen.
I like that one a lot.
Number four, stay healthy. And that means, hey, we have to use light balls. If we're going to hit a bunch of balls into players' hands, let's use some light balls. Okay. I know Ojan at Coast is a big fan of this with the big kids. And we have, you know, you get a kid, we have a kid like Kaya. I brought my friend out and, she busted his hand, you know. I mean, just gave a little dislocated the thumb there, but she just hits it the ball a ton. So it's like we have to be careful. Number five, we have two priorities. And I think if you're going to tool the block, set location has to be a priority. That, hey, the ball has to be set close enough that it's easy to hit off the block, but not so close that you don't have any other options.
It's a great way of framing it. Yeah.
So like the ball has to have the ball has to be set in the proper space. So set location.
What do you think is the proper space for your level? About how far from the net?
I like 2 feet, 24 inches, something like that.
Okay.
24 to 36.
Okay.
If you get to 12, you can still deal with it. So 24 is the happy medium. Under 12, I think you start getting, you know, it gets
limiting,
critical.
Options.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think over 3 feet, then you start harder to
find the block.
To find the edges of it.
Okay.
So good question, though. I like it. And then priority two, if the set's there, the attacker has to stay behind the ball. And you have to. It's hard to hit the block if you don't see the block.
Right.
Okay. So if you're running under the ball and you're looking up to the ceiling and you're guessing where it is, it's hard to be good at tooling the block. So those two priorities as far as teaching priorities.
Okay.
Next, number seven, practice it a lot. Over and over and over. We can't practice it too much. And starting, I think, with some progressions. And I know progressions aren't, you know, everybody's favorite thing. But I think you can lower the net, start on the ground, put some. I like these things. In one of the videos, they have these pads that are from like martial arts pads.
Yes, like boxing hands.
Yeah, like boxing hands. So you put them there and you just hit off those things. It's pretty cool. It
protects the fingers.
Yeah. So it's, and once again, it gives the hitter like a bigger, kind of big black circle target to hit.
I like
that. So it's cool.
That's a good idea.
So I'm gonna go buy those today. I watched that video getting prep and I've got to go buy some of those.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So and you know, we've been using noodles, but I just think the having those hands with those pads are so much better than noodles.
I like that. And then the boogie board too.
Boogie board. The boogie fever.
Busting out the boogie fever.
Okay.
You know, just having the boogie board. Now it's not as good as hands, right? Because there's no seams and stuff like that, but it's definitely a solid.
I like the boogie board too. Yeah. I haven't used the boogie board.
Okay.
Target different spots. Okay. So I think that's what we have? Number eight, target different spots. So if you're left front, outside hand is number one. I think, hey, use that outside hand, ball hits the, you know, blocker's right hand, goes out of bounds. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. But then I think inside hand off the top. Yes. So I think you can play around with different, you know, as you, as you're training it, it can become more advanced and more nuanced. And I think sometimes, oh yeah, just hit, I'm always telling kids, hit edges of the block, but do we really practice the specific edges?
Right.
So we have to do a better job of doing that.
I like that. Okay.
Number nine, connect to coverage. Include landing balance with self-cover. We just lost a match this past, week. Parker killed us. And early in the match, our blockers were perfect, and we're not a very good blocking team, Davis. And we had this straight down stuff block, and this kid just covered herself, and they came back, transitioned, and got the point. Ripped our heart out. And that set the tone for the match, and Rodrigo's team kicked our butts. And I think that, you think of those singular plays that we call those flip switches, where you think you win the point, and then you don't.
Yes.
And those are emotional points. So covering yourself, I think it can be connected to that. And okay. I think it's healthy to land. You're a big guy about landing on 2 feet, staying healthy. Yes. Covering yourself is big. How about number 10, stat it. Hey, into the match, who had the most tools for kills?
That's a great point.
Just simple, simple. Hey, we're going to celebrate that person when we come into practice the next time.
I like that.
Number 11, stat it number two. One of the stats that we look at is we're really trying to hammer attacking errors and trying to get that under 15%. For attacking errors. The other thing we're looking at, I stole this from Chris Lamb at Wichita State, another thing I stole from him, is if you look at your errors, we want block. So if you look at, let's say you're an attacker and you make five errors, you hit four balls out and you got stuff blocked on one. I would say you're not challenging the block, because we want the balls that get stuff blocked to equal or exceed the balls that are hit out. If you have four errors hitting out or in the net, that means you're afraid of the block, Davis.
Yes.
We got to change your mentality to challenge the block. Quit being afraid of it.
I like that.
So just looking at that simple stat.
I really like that. And that's more mental a lot of times.
Well, it gives them something specific though, right?
Right.
It gives them something tangible that we can look at and say, hey, you are challenging the block. You're not challenging the block. We can look at this stat and this proves it.
Right. I guess what I mean is kids don't like getting blocked, right? So you have to kind of get in
there. No, that started with number one. That's the biggest thing that we're fighting, because they don't like getting blocked. They think it's an affront to their ego. And we want kids. My favorite story about this, I'll tell you this, is when I watched Misty May in high school.
Okay.
So she's playing for Newport Harbor, and they were playing the old Poway team with Kara Milling.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that team back there? It's going back some years. Yeah. But I remember it was like the first set, it was like 20. Or this was the old – this was old school. So this was before rally scoring. So it's you know, like 14-15 in the first. Newport Harbor has the ball. Of course, they set Misty May at game point. She goes up. And Milling, and I forget who else was on that team. It was, I forget the other kid, that other kid. Anyway, they just roofed her, and the ball just bounced. And Misty May is like on her approach. She's kind of going inside out. She just gets buried, and she just keeps like walking to the bench, gets a drink of water. Looks like she's on like holiday, you know, like she's a walk in the park. And I'll wait a minute. This kid just got roofed for the end of the first set. Poway is celebrating like crazy. She's on the bench taking a drink of water, looking calm as could be. This kid is a different sort. This is a different sort of cat. This kid, Misty May. I don't know who she is. And I hate to say, I think I was right. She was a different kind of cat.
I think you're right. But that mentality of like, it's okay to get blocked. It's not okay to not challenge the block, right?
Yep.
And I think that's a wonderful approach. And getting in their ear about that is awesome. Because it's hard to block balls.
You're right.
Yeah.
And we have two more. So I'm on number 12.
Perfect.
And that is specials, what I call specials with tooling. And so push and wipe.
Okay.
Okay. And then the one where maybe, hey, you're early, and so you hit it when you descend kind of off speed into the block. And if the block's early, they pull it down.
Okay.
I think that's a little more advanced skill. But those specials, you spend a small amount of time on the specials because they don't happen as often.
Right.
You got to spend the majority of the time on the heat with edges, but play around with the specials too, because they're going to happen.
I love that.
And then can
I real quick on the specials? So Mary Jo Pepler told us that the game point play back in her time was to set the ball tight and do that push and wipe off the block. That's what they would do on Game Point.
Oh, wow.
That was the play.
See, I like that. Interesting. I like that.
So, yeah. Anyways.
I like it. That's good stuff. And then lastly, 13, the Baker's Dozen.
Okay.
Number 13, the last donut, is connect to other skills and training.
Okay.
So you're working on tooling the block, but hey, to tool, the setting has to be good. So you have setting feedback built into that, right? We have coverage for offense because, hey, we're tooling the block. We're going to get blocked. We have to be great at covering.
I see what you mean now.
So we're connecting there. On the other side, hey, can our hands be great blocking?
Yes.
Where are our hands facing? How big are we? Are we blocking this little tiny area or are we blocking a big area to block? And then digging deflections. The toughest balls to dig are really balls that hit the block. So the best defenders can respond to those things. So we get to connect that to the other skills.
I like that. That's awesome.
A baker's dozen
for
tooling the block. There you go.
Very cool. So a lot of great stuff in there. So let's move to the scenario.
What do you have today?
So the scenario, I think if you haven't had the scenario in your coaching time, you are absolutely lucky. But I think almost everyone has. It's when your best player is injured, okay? And we're
or out for anything.
Or out, I guess.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, hey, we have best players in high school and they have recruiting trips.
Right, and yeah, best player's out. What are you going to do? And really, I don't have any magical words of wisdom here, except for, not except for. These are not going to be magical words of wisdom. But I do have a few points that I think matter here. The first is if you've already been training your players to be multi-skilled players, that's an important first step, right? If you have specialized, it's going to be much more difficult to adapt when your best player has gone out, right? Second point, if you have emphasized the second team just as much as you've emphasized the first team, that will pay dividends. We talked a few pods ago about having a contingency plan,
yep.
Right? If you have no contingency plan and your best player goes out, you're in trouble. And that's got to be a contingency plan you have, meaning we cannot expect our best player to survive, you know, hitting thousands of balls over the course of the season and be in every single game. So what do we have to do next? And I think one of the things you got to obviously think about is where those points come from, right? If you don't have your best hitter, first of all, can you overcome the mental built-in excuse that you could lose because your best player is not there? I find this all too often. I'll say, how did you do? And they'll say, we lost. And then immediately, but so-and-so wasn't there.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't like that. I'd rather.
The interesting thing, and we're San Diego guys and baseball season, and San Diego just won a little playoff series against the Dodgers.
Yes.
But I heard a couple announcers making comparisons between the Braves, who won the World Series last year, and their best player, their second baseman, was out, was injured. And then San Diego, of course, has Tatis out, right?
Right.
So there are times when you have this effect where the best player goes out and the team kind of rallies.
And does even better.
And
right.
Does even better. So knowing that and trying to work on that mentality rather than this kind of built-in excuse mentality that you were talking about is interesting.
Absolutely. And that's, I guess, was going to be my big point number three. We lose as a team, we win as a team. So if we lose and our best player is out, I'm going to perhaps tell my players, when people ask you about this game, you say, we lost, not we lost, so-and-so was out. And I think building that, and that's just one little thing, but building that team responsibility is critical, right? It's not if so-and-so goes off or, you know, meaning has a great match. If so-and-so goes off, we're going to win. What we really want to do is say, if we all play well and if we all play solidly, then we're going to have a chance to win.
Yep.
And I think that if you can do that, that's really awesome. And then some of the specific things you can do to get some more points is, I think you probably got to serve tougher. Although I want to say one thing real quick. Sometimes your top player is not that much better than your second best hitter.
Well, and there can also be that player can make some errors. So I just think, I guess for me, you know, presenting this thing as a challenge for me is, listen, this is a great challenge for us. And we get to put people who've been working really hard all year. And all of a sudden, Davis, we have, you know, we've set you, you know, 10% of our sets have gone to you. That's going to go to 30 this match. It's going to be fun to see you.
Yes.
Get this challenge. Exactly. And I'm excited for you.
Yes.
And it's so cool because you've been working so hard on your game.
Right.
Absolutely. And so we have this new paradigm that we're creating that is exciting and challenging, not this, oh my God, we're not going to be as good because that person is.
Exactly.
You know, so how do you approach it as a coach?
Yes. And I think not dwelling on it, not bringing it up too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's just, hey, this is what we're doing. Let's get after it.
Let's go. You know, and if that player's two kills better, let's say, and everything's even, same efficiency, but they can score two more points. Really, you don't need to be that much better, right? And so can you find 2 points? Maybe, like you said, maybe we're going to try to get one more tool and one more clipper.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Something like that. It's not that much different. So I guess the idea is really it's more of a mental thing than anything. And if they're out, it's not who cares, but we are a team and one player is not the team. And it's really important not to concede mentally with a built-in excuse. So that's what I have for if the best player is out. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I'm just going to throw out that idea of, hey, we have a player out. And everybody on the outside thinks this.
I like this one too.
But we know a little more about it. And here are the things we know. We know that we have these players blank, 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 who can give us 5% more emotionally to fill in. We know that blank, 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 blank can give us 5%, not 100% more, just 5% more blank, blank, and blank to make up for the attacking. And then these players, blank and blank, are going to do stuff from the service line.
Like
and
it.
Hey, everybody's going to do just a little bit. And it's going to be so fun to see everybody's look on everybody's face and go, how can those guys play? They're so used to relying on this person. And I didn't think they were any good. So, hey, we have this great challenge. For me, I'm as excited for this match as any match all year.
That's awesome.
So
yeah.
It's just, how do you frame it?
Absolutely.
Like that psychological framing.
Yeah. Super cool. And it's, again, it's a super fun challenge, right? So that's the way to frame it. So,
well, and I think the other thing is, hey, if that person misses practices, then you use that as a chance. Hey, we have to look at that contingency. What are we going to do when that person, let's play some volleyball with her, without that, with her not in the lineup or
right.
with him not in the lineup and see, this is what it would look like.
I like that.
And so we play in practice a little bit. So when it happens, if it happens, then we'll say, hey, we did this at practice.
I like that.
So,
and then one more final quick thing to add to that. And I think other sports do a little better job with this. If my shoulders hurt, I can still do stuff with my feet, you know, maybe get on the bike or whatever. If my foot is hurt, I can still do stuff with my arms, you know. And I think a lot of times in volleyball, it's just, oh, my whatever, you know, I'm hurt. And I'm injured and I'm just going to be out.
Yeah.
And we'd rather have them doing something than nothing. So that's, yeah. I just add that in there. So
cool.
Awesome. So what are the videos that we're going to connect to the skill?
So the tooling. First one is the one that I mentioned that has the pads.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Has those martial arts pads. And this is a guy, Dave Preston from McMaster College. And
okay.
It's men's volleyball. And those guys are hitting the ball hard and they tool. I think they're better at it than women in general. They do more of it. And he has a nice little progression, super simple stuff. So we'll start with that one.
Okay.
The second one is a guy that you know from LA, longtime club coach, Nabil.
Oh, yes. Nabil Mardini.
Yeah, Nabil Mardini. And so Nabil has one that's kind of like our blocky ball.
Okay.
The one that we, Davis and I do one is called blocky ball where the rally doesn't start until the ball hits the block.
Mm-hmm.
Nabil's is a little bit different, 6-on-6 again,
okay.
But you can only score on a tool.
Oh, okay.
I like start that. At 22-22
okay.
into the game. Hey, which means the sets have to be tight enough. Everybody's covering but you can only score when the ball hits the block.
I like that one.
So you can get stuff blocks to score.
Okay. I like that. I was going to say, I like that addition too.
Okay. Yeah. You can get stuff blocks to score or you can tool.
That's it. So it's really emphasizing that interaction.
22-22, you win the point. You get to serve just like we always. I think maybe he had you receive. Yeah, because then you get a bet. So it's kind of the reverse because he gives you the opportunity to tool first.
Okay.
So cool. That's Nabil's. And then the third one is John Dunning. And John does a 6-on-6. And once again, he comes from a different perspective. And we think so much of competition. Oh, we got to compete. So he says, this is how we do it. We're taking two teams, side A, side B. We're throwing balls in. The winning team gets it. And we're going to count 9 swings. The ball has to hit the block on 6 of the 9 swings. Go. And so if you get to like 6 and you don't have 3, you're on 2, you stop it. Well, we didn't make it. We already missed 4. Start over. So you have two teams working.
I like that.
Kind of together. So it's a different, he approach. Frames things differently, yeah. But once again, both sides are working on it.
More of a collective. I like
it's that. It's a different way, different approach. Kind of cool.
That
so
is cool.
Those are the three.
Right on. Well, really cool. That's awesome. Well, those are going to be unlocked and they'll be in our show notes so everyone can feel free to check them out. So I had the resource of the week, and the resource of the week is not exactly volleyball specific, but I found myself utilizing this resource a number of times. It's on Instagram, and it's called MindsetHub_. And the reason I like it is there's tons of motivational stuff on Instagram, but I found this one to be a little bit more personal and emotional and not so clinical. And by that, I mean, I feel like a lot of emotional or motivational stuff is sort of in an office talking to someone and stuff like this. And these people are actually in scenarios where they're either highly emotional or maybe.
Now, just, are these athletes or these, who's doing this?
Coming from all walks of life, really. Okay. But they are notable personalities.
Okay.
Right. And so you got LeBron, you got, you know, Kobe Bryant, but
I know like I've heard of those guys.
You've heard of those guys. And then you got like Joe Rogan and okay. You got even politicians and, you know, people I've never heard of, but just to hear them speak in their perspective, it can keep you refreshed when you need to be refreshed.
How long are they? Are they long?
They're not long at all. They're maybe a minute or two.
See, I like that stuff to show my team too. Absolutely. Just like pre-practice. They're sick of hearing this time of year, Davis. How much have they heard of me? Too much.
Well, and it's like, it's super wise and stuff that you've maybe never heard of. And so
I got to check it out. This
I think
is a great
it's well
one.
Worth it. Cool. MindsetHub_.
I got to get Instagrammed up. I have an account. I don't get on there very much, but now that's going to give me a reason to check it out.
Yeah. And the other thing I would add real quick is as coaches, we always think about feeding the players and making sure the players stay motivated. But as coaches, we need to stay motivated. In the dog days, it gets tough.
Yep.
You know, and so some of these things, man, I found myself getting a little tear in my eye. I'm like, man, it's like such hard work to be so sharp all the time. And people that get it. And these are people that get it, you know.
That's cool. That's interesting you say about coaches, because the funny thing is with me now, I'm finding it as an older coach in some ways easier than it was as a younger coach, because I was teaching full time.
Yes.
And I just was, I was teaching, you know, English, carrying around mm-hmm. a bunch of papers, always had the, you know, paper chase going on. And then there's always this big list, and having something like that at that time. Now I'm, you know, kind of semi-retired guy doing some pods, playing around with art of coaching stuff and coaching volleyball. It's a little easier, but this motivational stuff is still great. I gotta check it out.
Well, and me as a new dad, I mean, there's times when I'm just exhausted, right?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find where I can get my energy from it. And some of these things have really been touching and really helpful.
I gotta check it out, Dave. So, this is a great,
anyways,
great resource cool. today.
Yeah, awesome episode. I mean, today we talked about tooling. We talked about when your best player is out, and all those videos will be unlocked for anyone on Art of Coaching Volleyball, and they'll be unlocked on our show notes. And we also talked about MindsetHub_ on Instagram as a wonderful resource. So what a great pod.
Doesn't get any better than that, Davis.
Appreciate
Thanks.
You, Todd. Thanks
Take
a
care.
Lot.
Bye bye. We'll be right back.